because I've been a trainer for so long, I've had and I have trained thousands of women, and I have seen thousands of New Year's goals fail over and over again. And I like feel like I know why.
Have you ever wondered whether there's actually a sustainable way to balance a healthy and meaningful life with your busy schedule? Well, you're in luck, Balancer, because I did too. And the Balance Theory podcast is now a dedicated space to be curious in finding a balance that just works. Because since we're being honest here, balance isn't a one size fits all. I'm your host, Erica, and let's dive into today's episode.
All right, Balancers, today's guest is someone who kickstarted my fitness journey, someone I'm so excited to sit down and chat with. And she is the co-founder and head trainer of the Sweat app. She's been helping millions of women around the world, and I'm really keen to just get to know her a little bit more. And she's none other than the Kayla at Cenas. Kayla, a warm welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So lovely to have you here and hear your experience in Dubai as well. So I briefly told you a little bit off air, but I think it was about 11, 12 years ago, without making you feel old, that I walked into the gym for the first time and had two things, my water bottle and my BBG guide. For those of you who are not OGs like me, the BBG guide is the bikini body guide. And at the time, it wasn't this beautiful evolved app that it is today. It was a PDF saved somewhere in my files.
And you had to print it out yourself.
Yes, I did, to handwrite all my, you know, reps and weights and whatnot. And I don't know whether to thank you or not for introducing me to plyometric lunges, but I have to say that the gym and fitness in general is such a big part of my life today. So a big thank you to you for bringing that to my life. And I know I'm one of millions that you've helped. So thank you for doing what you do.
That's so nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. I am curious though, when you were like going through school, you know, like when you're younger and you have this idea of what you want to be when you grow up, did you kind of have any random aspirations or like things you wanted to do when you were all grown up?
So I'll never forget this. When I was in school, when you hit around year 10 in Australia, they have this like careers day. And like,
I remember
you
that.
Talk about, yeah, okay, great. So you gotta talk about what you want to do, and then they give you all these pamphlets and all these things. And there was so much pressure. And my parents said to me like the day before, they're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to do something to do with fitness. And I was doing coaching at the time, so I was a basketball coach. And they're like, okay. And I remember my mum being like, okay, well, fitness is not a career, so unless you're going to be an athlete, and because I played basketball, she's like, unless you're going to be a professional basketball player, by the way, they don't pay, so like think of an actual career. And I was like, all right, so what about things like maybe like PE teaching? She's like, that's good, like because her and her my dad are teachers. So I was like, okay, I'll be a PE teacher. For anyone listening, that's physical education. So she's like, okay, do that. I always knew I wanted to do something to do with that. That was always me. I never wanted to be like a doctor or it was always physical education.
Right. So then you started off your career as a PT.
No.
No.
Okay. So I left school. I was actually studying beauty therapy because I did not want to go to school. And
because then you could do the year 10 where you do the physical work on the side.
I could leave school. Yeah. I finished, by the way, guys, anyone listening to this, but so I left school, I went into university, I studied teaching.
Primary
teaching. I was trying to be a physical education teacher, but you had to do all the subjects to be able to like, anyway. Long story short, I was like walking by one day, going to my beauty course, and there was literally this like, you know the paper on the wall. I'm trying to describe this while you guys are listening to me. Paper on the wall with like little paper ripoffs that you, and it said
on the signboards.
Yeah. And it said like personal training. So I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I ripped off the number, put it in my pocket. And then I started doing personal training. I was doing personal training at the time, and I was almost finished. Cause I was like, you know what, to get into physical education, maybe having a personal training degree will help me get there. Anyway. So I finished my personal training course. I rang the number. So this is how I got into fitness.
Wow.
This is how I got my first job. All right. So anyone listening, this is how I got my first job, and it's not what you think. I roll up to this place and this lady says to me, I'll be with you in a moment. So she's the owner of the business, the personal training center. So I'm sitting on the table and then she goes to sit down in front of me and she goes to say, hi, and I literally was like, I'm so sorry. And I realized there was a guy bringing water containers in, trying to open the door and bring the water containers in at the same time. So I got up and I opened the door for the guy, held the door open, helped him take the waters in, and I sat back down. I was like, sorry. And she goes, you're hired.
Oh, wow.
Literally, that's how I got my first job. Not, are you a good personal trainer? Not, can I see your skill set? She goes, people can't teach that. You're hired. That's how I got my job as a personal trainer.
I wonder, do you, I don't know how involved in the hiring you are of your business, but do you kind of have a similar approach to when you bring people on to help you grow whatever it is you're going to grow, in terms of you hire them based off who they are, not necessarily their expertise?
Yeah, the trainers at Sweat, which I work really closely with, are all, like, I look at them, I look at their morals, the way that they treat other people, the way that they, you know, are close with their family, the way that they have, you know, the way that they treat me and speak to me and the staff. And I'm like, you're a good person. You're amazing.
Yeah, it's so true, because there's stuff you can't teach. You can Absolutely. Always teach things in a textbook, skills, but those things are inherent to who you are. So if we pivot a little bit now, obviously the podcast is all about balance. And I guess my whole curiosity kickstarted when I was feeling like I was trying to juggle work and everything in my life and always feeling overwhelmed doing so. And I'm quite an ambitious person like yourself. And I really just felt like this want to have some sort of balance in my life was taking away from my big goals. I felt like I couldn't have both. And I was like, you know what? I really think there is a sustainable way to do this somehow. So the balance theory, I guess, kind of is based on the idea that you have your health, number one, your relationships, and then your fulfillment, whether that be your career, your hobbies. I mean, you're a mum, so that will be raising your kids, things that fulfill you. And instead of looking at it as juggling balls, it's looking at these areas as gardens and saying, okay, what's the bare minimum these areas need in order to be alive, basically, so that I'm not neglecting them completely? Because I feel like what we do is something might come up in our health, right? We get really shocking news. We need to run and go all in on our health. We neglect everything else. Or work gets crazy. We've got projects, we've got events, we've got certain goals. You go all in on your career and you forget everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel the balance gets tipped in the wrong way. So I'm curious to know if in your current or past experience, I'm not sure if your business is at a point now where you can kind of have a little bit more of that balance with your family and your friendships. Have you ever had a moment where you do really feel that overwhelm in trying to achieve that balance for yourself?
Look, with, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, because I don't have a 9-to-5 job. So like my career allows me to be able to, both Jay and I, to be home with the kids, but also be able to work. Because we are global, because it is social, because we can, I don't feel that there is a massive imbalance when it comes to like home life and work life. I also don't think that we should be teaching people that it should be 50%.
Mm.
So like, I'm sick of this whole like, you know, 50% work, 50% like your life. That's not life. That's not balance at all. So if you are considering your life, or you're considering the word balance to be 50% of your work and 50%, no, zero. As soon as that scale tips, you just feel like you've lost control of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, looking at it through the lens of time is really detrimental, because I feel like even just that work-life balance statement, right, gives that 50-50, or some people even throw around like an 80-20 rule. And my whole thing is, even if, so with work, that's generally the majority of our week. A lot of people listening to this are going to have a 9-to-5 or a business, and that's going to take up the majority of their week. So to say that that's going to be equal to my health, like, I wouldn't spend 8 hours in the gym even if you paid me. You know what I mean? It's not about the time that you put into these areas. It's about the quality, and what I like to call it is like your bare minimum. So if we kind of go back to that garden analogy, it's saying, okay, my health garden, what's the bare minimum it needs? I don't need to put in 8 hours a day like I do my job, right? That's a bare minimum for my job. My health maybe looks like an hour of movement, 10 minutes of meditation, and being hydrated, and my sleep, for example.
I think you're throwing me with the bare minimum thing.
So I would say, if I go to bed every night and I think to myself, have I paid enough attention to my health or my relationships? Let's just say across a week, right? Yep. So that I don't feel like that area of my life's neglected. What's the bare minimum that area needs? So for my health, it's those things for me that I've just said. In my relationship, it looks like one date night where we have like just a night, the two of us. And because I'm not around my family anymore, when I was in Australia, that looked like family dinner every Monday night.
I get you.
Now it's like a FaceTime on a Sunday. So if I go across a week and I miss one of those things, I really feel it. I feel like something's missing. I feel off. Like, I don't feel grounded. So for me, like, identifying those bare minimums is step one to working out your balance. And then there's kind of like a layer two where we go, okay, there's a second category or tier of priorities, and I call them your wants. So the things you really want to do, the things that add that extra bonus into your life, but they're not essential for you to keep your gardens alive. They're like, if we're going to run with a garden analogy, if you were to add like fertilizer or, just extra things to help it grow and thrive, it's only going to be a benefit and add on, but it's not that bare minimum to keep your foundation like concrete. So
you refer to bare minimum as enough to make you feel like you're living.
To me, it's kind of like enough for me to feel like that area is not being neglected. It feels like it's just alive and well.
Can I question you? Do you feel like you fall into the category of that hustle culture, that you feel like you have to be doing something? You have to, like, if you're not up early, if you're not completing something, if you're not doing something in that day, you feel like you haven't succeeded. Like, do you feel?
I definitely have been in that category in the past, and I can notice.
'Cause you came from Sydney, yeah?
Yeah.
And you know that Sydney is.
So moving here for me has been like a mental cleanse of that need. And one of the things actually that's a non-negotiable for me, for my balance, is this thing called no agenda time. So for me, it's a pocket of time, and I like to put it on a Sunday afternoon where I have no agenda. And it means when I get to that moment, I can decide what I want to do. Because how many times have you made plans like 4 or 5 weeks ahead? And then you get to that weekend, you're like, I cannot be bothered for this party or this event. Like, I couldn't, I made plans when I had the energy, and now I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
So for me, that no agenda time lets me go, you know what? I do feel like being social, or I feel like going to the gym, or I feel like lying in bed and watching a movie. So that's something I've adopted when I moved here, because I actually have the space in my calendar to do it.
Yeah, nice.
And it's something I really hope to maintain when I go home, because I definitely feel that hustle culture has been toxic for me in the past. Is it something you've experienced?
Well, for anyone listening to this, like, obviously I'm from Australia, and I'm sitting across from someone who's also from Australia but lives in Dubai, and I think we both understand that there is a huge hustle culture, especially in Sydney. Now, I'm not from Sydney, but my clientele, my friends are from Sydney, and they say that they feel like they're constantly failing. And I'm not dragging down Australia here. We love living here. It's a beautiful place to live. But there is this hustle culture there that, like, if you feel like you haven't done everything that you need to do in that day, you are absolutely failing. If you're not up by 5, you're getting rewarded, people are getting rewarded, and this is my biggest ick, when people say, oh, like, you know, I'm at work, but I had like 3 hours sleep last night. Ha ha, not funny. Not funny.
Not a badge of honor.
Not a badge of honor. Exactly right. Like, stop doing that. I have fallen into that hustle culture, but I think I did it to myself. And it's because I care so much about what I'm doing. I love my community members so much. I was just telling one of my team, I was like, I went on a tour with influenza A, a tour. And I couldn't stop. Like, I was like, I can't stop. I have to attend this boot camp. I have to keep going. I mean, this sounds terrible post-COVID, but back in the day, this wouldn't have been, that would have been a shocking thing.
Wasn't frowned
thing.
Upon then.
It wasn't frowned upon then. You definitely don't do that, guys. But I was so sick, and I was so tired, and I was running myself down so much, but I just wanted to be there for the community. So yes, I've fallen into this, and I've realized, like, now I love things that make me feel like I have balance are my family. Seeing my grandparents, like, sitting there, realizing they have no Wi-Fi at their house. They don't have mobile phones. They have nothing. And just being with them and spending time with them and just switching off if possible.
It's the small things that make you present. And again, sometimes that's like, could just be an hour with them right on a Sunday, and that gives you that boost for your whole week.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be like, I mean, obviously you take a whole day with them, but even if it is just an hour. So sometimes it's like, especially for people listening that feel really busy. I know a lot of people from Australia are going to be listening to this.
Yep.
It's working out the bare minimums so it doesn't feel overwhelming to make time for yourself, because I think the biggest problem most people have is like, I don't have time, right? And they don't all have, maybe not all work for themselves or have really flexible jobs where they can curate their own schedule. So I always say start on the weekends, right? Like, think about in the pockets of time you have control over, like, how are you choosing to spend that? And don't look at it from a time-based point of view. Look at it from the quality and, like, what's most fulfilling. So I love that, like, you know, your grandparents and your kids, like, just moments with them
is absolutely really
what completes it. If we kind of pivot a little bit onto the training side, what advice do you have for people going through moments now, whether this be jet lag, maybe something you're experiencing right now, pregnancy, injury, when you have those moments where you can't train like you normally can, and you really fall into that, you know, sometimes work gets really busy and mentally, I don't know if you feel this, but I feel like sometimes if I'm really stressed and I go to do weights, it almost is like an over stressor for me. It doesn't actually do what it normally does, which is lets me let off some steam and makes me feel really good. So what advice do you have, or what works for you in moments where you can't actually exercise the way you want, when it's such a like important part of starting your day?
Yeah, I think like my biggest, I mean, I have this with my clients all the time. It's so weird. I don't know why they do this, but it's like as soon as they know that they can't do something, they start looking at those sort of things. They start researching that sort of thing. So say you've got a massive injury, you've broken your leg. They start looking at gym videos of people doing squats, and then they start comparing themselves, being like, I wish I, and I'm like, why are you doing that?
Fruit.
But yeah, why are you doing that? Like, just take some time, relax, and do something else. Do something else productive, but do something else. Like, for example, I had a cesarean, two births cesarean. The first time, completely lost. All I wanted in my head was to go back to the gym, to go back to how I was. The second time, 6 weeks off. So happy, relaxed, just, you know, taking my time to do what I needed to do and to rest, but I was still productive. Like, I'd be like, okay, let's do like 50 emails today. And I felt like I did something. Mm. So it's not about trying to get back to do the thing that you can't do. It's about being productive somewhere else in your life, so you still feel like you're winning.
Yeah, it's like being present with where you are and what you can do.
Absolutely.
I find the mental shift, though, is the hardest part of that.
So hard.
Because obviously, like, physically you want to get up and move, and that feels quite good. But the mental shift is the toughest part of that, because you do feel like, and maybe again, this is like my conditioning of hustle culture, always needing to be productive. But I think there is an aspect of like, how do I shift with my health to make it feel like I'm doing something for it? So in those moments, right, when you were not able to train post-birth, like what kind of things for you worked, whether it be like a mindset shift or even just things you could do that helped you mentally get through that period?
So when you have like, and for anyone who's listening, if you've had a baby, like you get baby brain. So like you forget like, and things are so logical and like make sense, you forget about. So I was so upset that I couldn't go to the gym. My first session back at the gym, I was not ready. And I thought, for whatever stupid reason, I would go and do push-ups. That was like my first exercise I thought of, like the dumbest thing that I could do that has the most pressure on your core, I thought I would do. I was crying. Anyway, I went back home. I called my sister and she goes, you know Anna's nap times? I was like, yeah. She goes, how long do they go for? And I had this full schedule. I was like, well, the first one's 30 minutes. She goes, okay, well, why don't you just put her in the pram and go for a walk for 30 minutes? And I was like, well,
yeah, some push-ups.
I could definitely do that. Anyway, I fell in love with walking. I like had these, I had Netflix playing and had this thing attached to the treadmill that I would walk down the side street so there's no cars, guys, don't freak out. And I like had my headphones in, I'm just walking, I was watching Netflix and I was like, this is great. I feel like I'm doing something. I feel like I'm being productive. Like, find something else. It's probably not what you were doing before, but find something else that you love. And it's a great way to start trying new things.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say it's actually the perfect opportunity for you to be like, you know what, maybe this thing I haven't tried or I'm new to is something I might actually love. Because I feel like sometimes even just in life, we don't get the opportunity to explore different things, whether it be hobbies or,
100%.
You know, different training styles. So that's a good opportunity. And I guess a good reframe for anyone in a period right now where they're like, you know what, I'm not able to train the way I used to. See it as an opportunity to try something new. I think that's
absolutely.
Really that, nice
I think that's
advice.
A key. See it as an opportunity.
Absolutely.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
What advice would you give to mums right now having a bit of a bounce back mentality?
Don't do it.
Just because, I mean, I've not had kids yet. It's something I really hope is a part of my future. I've got a lot of friends starting to have kids and I can't imagine the pressure we inflict on ourselves, right? It's totally self-inflicted. I know it comes as well from social pressures. I'm just curious what advice you would give to them, because I think it's, of course, don't do it. It's very toxic. Easier said than
but
done,
you know
though,
what?
Right?
Like, let me, and I know that every mum listening to this right now will be nodding their heads and agreeing with me that it's when we say that we want our bodies back, right? We're not saying that we want to look like we used to look like. We're saying we want to feel like what we used to feel like. And that means, and that looks like having strength, having confidence, you know, getting up on a chair and getting something down and not thinking, oh my God, if I fall, there's going to be something seriously wrong. Mm-hmm. Like not stressing that you are responsible for a human, going to sleep and actually staying asleep, like being able to sleep, honestly, is a game changer. If you can sleep, your recovery is 10x faster. Like, so like when we say, we want our bodies back. People are like, oh, bounce back culture. It's actually, there is very rare for a mother who is just post-pregnant saying, I want my body back. No one's saying they want to look. They're not that silly. Like they know they're not going to look like that, what they used to look like for about 2 years. But what we mean is we want to feel a certain way.
I think that's a good distinction because potentially, I mean, I know what you're saying and I've not gone through it, so I can't really comment, but I think maybe there would be some people getting hung up on the physical aspect.
It's not physical. Like it is so rare for it to be physical. Once you start to feel better and your body heals, then yes, you might look at yourself and be like, okay, look, I used to have 10x my muscle that I, whatever. But at the start, it really is about how you feel. And things that you can do to change that is like what I did with Anna. Put her in the pram, go for a walk, get some mental clarity, get your blood flowing, do something for yourself, because you feel like as a mum, your whole life is dedicated to this child and they don't say thank you for a very long time. So you just feel like you're just outputting, like, and you get nothing in return.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll be sending you a message when that time comes for me.
I get it.
I see where you're coming from. I read somewhere, and I know from a lot of the things you share online, you're the kind of person, I mean, even just from that story of you opening the door for the guy bringing the bottles, you're the kind of person that likes to make others feel good and be there for others. You've even said that in your shows you like to stay back and make sure you've said hi to everyone. And I think this is a really, like, beautiful, generous quality you've got. Do you feel like that has... you've had any situations where you've maybe had to set boundaries with that quality, where people have maybe taken advantage of it?
I think, yes. Like, I think that I have historically been told by everyone that, like, Kelly, you're too nice. Like, people aren't going to do this for you. Like, people won't do what you like. And no matter what it is, if it's like lending someone something or helping someone with something or like going out of my way to like take my friends to the airport 4 o'clock in the morning, like, people shake me. They're like, Kayla, like, people are not going to do that for you. But like, I always say, like, I'm not going to change.
You know what? I feel like I'm really similar. And my fiance always tells me the same thing. Like, you don't have to do all these things. And I'm like, I actually want to do it, right? But have you ever had to like draw a line for yourself and be like, is this what I want to do? Or am I doing this out of like habit? Like, have you ever had any experience like that where you...
I couldn't give you one. Like, I just felt like my whole life is that. But like, no, I'm yet to draw the line.
Yeah.
Like, I know, and that sounds very bad. Don't take advantage of me, guys. Don't take advantage of my niceness. Like, but I just feel like that is my lesson that I need to learn. And I don't want to learn it in a hard way, but...
Well, maybe it's not, right? I think some people maybe look at it as a bad quality, but I think for as long as you feel like you're not compromising on yourself and you're doing something that, you know, helping others makes you feel good.
It does, like, make me feel good.
Then, but I don't think there's a lesson to learn. I was just curious if you had any experience.
But am I
where
people, like, I always analyze, like, am I a people pleaser? Like, I always thought, you know, in my like really like low moments when I'm like not having a good day, I'm like, am I, and I'm angry, and I'm like, was I put on this earth to teach people lessons? Like, is that my purpose? Like, I genuinely have thought this since, like, I remember my first thought of this was like when I was like 12 years old. I'm like, am I here to like teach people things? Like, when I get really upset, because like, I feel like people learn after they've done it to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, back to your like people pleasing comment, I think it comes down to, are you doing it because you want their validation, or are you just doing it because you want to be doing it? You know, so I feel like, because I've definitely been a people pleaser before, and for me it's been like, I almost feel like I want this person's validation and that's why I'm doing it. It's almost like the origin of it feels quite like stressful and like an obligation. In Italian we call it doveri. They're like obligations, okay, things you have to do. Whereas I feel like if it's coming from a place of, you know what, I just really feel like doing this, then I don't think you're running the risk of...
Yeah, I just really like doing it. But then I think, like, if I say, like, say I'm going to give you the most... This has never happened, but I'm just going to, like, say your house is a complete mess, right? And you're like, I'm so stressed, my house is a complete mess, and I'm your friend. I'm like, you know what? You go to work, I'm going to go to your house, I'm going to clean everything for you. So, like, I will love that.
My house actually is quite messy at the moment.
Yeah, so I will clean your house for you. But then if you call me back being like, so can you be my regular cleaner? That's when I'm like.
Yeah, sure.
No.
That's when you set a boundary.
No. I did it the first time because you needed help. But like, I'm not going to be used for this. Like,
sure.
There's where I'm like, no.
So you find it, you don't find it hard to say no, like setting boundaries for you, something that is easy? Because I feel like when you're quite generous.
I'll make a joke out of it.
Okay.
Like, right. I'm not going to do that every week. Please don't ask me.
That's a good way to do it because some people find it really hard to set those boundaries. If we circle back a little bit now to like the fitnessy stuff, I'm curious to know if you've ever felt a plateau in your fitness journey. So I've kind of experienced this when I've been maybe doing a program or in the gym and I just feel like the love for it. Not that I don't get something out of my training, but I'm not as like excited to do the program or approach my thing. Like I feel like I need to completely change it up. Like instead of weights, just go and do Pilates and run for like 6 months. So have you had that kind of experience?
No.
You've always loved.
No. Yeah. So it's different when you're asking a trainer versus you're actually asking like one of my clients would say something else. But with a trainer, like I love all training styles, so I can easily switch between and stay motivated. So I'm like built different, and that's why like I'm your trainer. Whereas like my clients, yes, they will either, you know, be really super hyper interested in one thing and then the next week, like they said, Pilates and running. Mm-hmm. And that's why Sweat was built, because it's like I always said I cannot be everything for everyone. Not everyone likes BBG or now OG Kayla. Not everyone likes that.
Mm.
People like yoga and Pilates and strength training. Like people love lifting weights when they feel stressed, whereas you feel like it stresses you out more. Like that's why Sweat was built. It was built for people that hit that plateau. And also for people who are listening to this and you've hit a plateau, like have you hit a plateau or are you just comfortable in that training style and you're not actually moving up in weights and pushing yourself and changing up things like your playlists or like what time you go to the gym or like even like your outfits can make a difference. Like it's crazy like to that music from what music you listen to can completely change your workout.
Yeah.
The other day I got stuck in the gym can you imagine, I don't know if you guys have Wells Gym, but it's like a bodybuilding gym.
Yeah,
and I was
in
there and I was listening to their music because I forgot my headphones and I was like, I'm having the worst session. And then I realized in the car, I was like, oh my God, there's headphones in the car. My whole session changed because I got my music back.
That's so true. Like how you set the tone from what you wear to what you're listening to, like creates that environment. But yeah, I guess from your side, for your own kind of training, do you have quite a versatile style then of training or do you have one style that you do for yourself, not for your clients?
Right now, so I can't say what I'm doing right now, but I'm trying a new style of training.
Watch your space.
And I really like it. And I said this, I wrote it on Instagram. I said, if this works, I'm going to make a program out of it and release it. And if it doesn't work, we're going to pretend I never said anything, but it's good.
Okay.
Yep.
So prior to this, what was like your style? Like are you more of a weights girl, cardio, combo?
I love strength and cardio. So what strength and cardio to me looks like is doing like a deadlift, but then getting a skipping rope and like doing like 50 skips and then deadlifts and then 50 skips. I'm always keeping my heart rate up. Like that is not how most people like to train, but it allowed me to get on stage and do these boot camps and be able to talk and train at the same time. It's just the way that it worked with my body just worked.
It's true. Like you don't think of it having to like working out already and getting your heart rate up, but actually having to take people through that, you have to train for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Wow, that's crazy. So back to, I guess, being present with your family and obviously like you run a massive business now. You mentioned you've got a bit of a flexible lifestyle, but in these moments, I mean, we're all human. We all have days where we kind of feel a bit lower, whether it's hormonal, whether it's just shit going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you still show up for your community, still show up online when you're feeling that way? Or do you kind of go a little bit more introverted and take that time for yourself?
No. So like weirdly, my family and my community are the only things that I know that will get me out of feeling the way that I feel. So I will gravitate towards them for motivation when I feel like crap. And then I'm more by myself when I'm feeling good. Like it's weird. So I'm like, if I'm having a really bad day, I'm like, where's my community? Where's my family? Like I run to them. Like they will help me. Whereas when I'm like feeling good, I'm like, okay, I'm fine. Like I'm just going through the motions. It's good. But yeah, I'm weird like that.
That's interesting.
To try and find. Yeah.
Would you say you're more of an introvert?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think my friends say like Like, I don't like going out and partying. Like, I don't – like, the thought of, like, even my wedding, I was like, I don't like being the center of attention and everyone, like
– Let Jay have the moment.
Yeah. Let Jay be – yeah. So, yeah, just – I think so.
Yeah, more introverted.
But am I? Like, I don't know. I can speak to anyone.
Maybe a bit more of a combo. I guess it's like when you're –
I'm like, what am I?
When you're like on your own, like if you enjoy your own company.
I
like
do enjoy my own company.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
What are some of your hobbies outside of like training and business?
God, I hate this question.
Sometimes because it's so like overlaid, like work and life for you is very like two in one. So sometimes I guess say it falls under the same umbrella, right?
I guess so. But like you, okay, you're going to think I'm real weird. This is going to sound like one of those like really like – like we're not going to post this, guys. It's a stupid answer. But like if I have a free second, I'll look up like cleaning videos and stuff.
Are you on the cleaning TikTok
I'm
side?
On every, it's the best. Every cleaning TikTok. So anything good. You can think of. I'm like if I have a spare second, I sit down. I'm like clean talk. And then I'm like, oh, my God, if you put bicarb soda or a lemon in the microwave with water, it cleans your whole microwave. I'm going to do that right now.
I did that too. I've like made my own like soaps for home and like sprays. And
that's me. Yeah. And like Jay's like when you get stressed – it's kind of good. Like I just leave you
clean the house,
everything.
I like, do that I too. It calms me down.
Yep. The other day, you know the mops that you clean the floor with that have the trigger?
Yep. I've got
you
one
know
of
you
those.
You can put them on the windows or put Windex in it and then clean the windows in it?
Stop. I know my hobbies this afternoon.
That's what I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, it's me.
Wow. No,
cleaning
it's fun.
Hobbies.
So given we're at the start of 2024, there are going to be a lot of people setting new goals, especially in the realm of health and fitness. Before I kind of ask you about yours, I want to know, do you have any like cardinal rules or frameworks or just things you stick by when you're setting fitness goals of like things to do or not to do?
Okay, listen, fitness goals is my favorite topic.
Let's favorite get into it.
Because like for some trainers, they have only ever been social media personal trainers. They'll get a qualification and then they will go on social media and they will release programs. But for me, because I've been a trainer for so long, I've had and I have trained thousands of women and I have seen thousands of New Year's goals fail over and over again. And I like feel like I know why. So firstly, here's my like rambling thing about fitness goals. One, you set them too early, right? So you set them starting January 1st, I'm going to blah. No one should set a goal on January 1st because you're still coming out of that Christmas period, New Year period, and there is so much stuff going on that you will miss those targets, especially if it's gym-based. Mm-hmm. Because it is this, one, it's so busy in that gym, but two, like there's so many other things going on and you need to prepare for like if you're a mum, school and work and all this other stuff. So forget the 1st of January for anything. You set it too early. Two, you set one goal and you didn't set the goal after it. So like you were like, okay, I want to run 5Ks. Then what? Mm-hmm. So like you get to that and then you have nothing else and then you fall way backwards and then you try and jump between all these different fitness categories and routines and you don't have a solid plan. Another thing is you don't have it. The other one is you don't have a solid plan and you don't have a solid training routine. So you start doing like you know, exercises that you found off TikTok that you saved.
Chopped and changing.
And you're chopping and changing and nothing is working for you and you're feeling scrambled. Mm. The other thing is not doing things like you don't have to do this, but really focusing on eating a healthy, balanced diet, especially at the start of the year. You're still coming out of that Christmas and New Year period. You're still having those parties. And you're just all over the shop. So just my biggest tip is to count most of January out.
Rule it off.
Rule it off, okay? Set three goals. When you set a goal, like this, I'm telling you, this is my favorite subject.
I can see the passion,
like,
the energy.
I'm like, oh, okay, because my clients are like, okay, Kayla, this is this back of the day. I want to come see you 3 times a week. That's my goal. I'm like, okay, let's break this down. One, let's say your goal is you want to go and join a gym and you want to go to the gym 3 times a week. First part, break it down. How much is that going to cost? Okay, how much is your membership? Do you require personal training when you're there? How much is that going to cost? How long is it going to take you to get to the gym? So is that drive time back and forth? What things do you need in your gym bag? Do you have a gym bag? How much is that going to cost to set up your gym bag? Do you have, you know, outfits, shoes, socks? Like do you write down the goal and everything you need for the goal? The drive time to the gym and back will normally be, I'm going to say for the average person, an hour and a half. So like as in you drive to the gym, you work out, You get back into your heart and go home. People set 30 minutes in their calendar to work out at the gym. How are you getting there and back? Like, I'm so, when it comes to this, you have to think about it.
You have to get granular and be very practical.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, you know, if you say, I want to have home cooked meals, it's like, that's great. When are you ordering, when are you planning what you're going to eat? Because let's not discount the mental toll that takes to actually organize and what ingredients you need. Then you have to order or go buy. I mean, here we order everything, so it's easy.
Yeah.
But you can go to the shops, obviously. Then you've got to prep everything. And I'm like I don't like prepping for the whole week. I'm like a two prep type person.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to get granular with these goals. Otherwise, of course, you're not going to stick to them. I like the second tip you gave about you set one goal, but you don't set the next one. And do you feel like sometimes people set goals that are too small as well?
100% or way too big.
Yeah, so then they are either always working towards one and never getting it or hit one and, like you said, like cross that plateau. Yes. It's kind of like, I think when it comes to health and fitness, one, the only thing I would add is really getting clear on your why, right? Like what is the reason you're training, right? Mm-hmm. Is it so you have the energy to go to work, to play with your kids, if you have other particular goals, whatever it is, like making that really front of mind. It's so important because when you're setting these goals, they form a part of that why. So even if you come off track or if you plateau, any of those things, you've always got that to come back to.
I think we should also speak about people's whys, and they lie about their whys as well. So I find this out with my clients through their training session. So they rock up the first day, they're like, I just want to feel confident. And then the next session, they're like, yeah, I want to feel confident, you know, because I don't feel confident right now because, oh, never mind. And then the next session, like, oh, you know, my boyfriend cheated on me. And now by myself, revenge bod.
You peel back the layers.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, so what is your why? Like, just be honest. I don't care. I'm a trainer. Like, I'm not going to go and tell anyone. Like, it's me and you. What is your why? Why are you really here? Like, why did you show up today? That's okay. It doesn't have to be your why forever because it doesn't work like that. A negative starting why will always eventually, with the right person, with the right trainer, will turn into something positive. You might start off really negative, revenge bod. I'm over it. And then a few weeks later, a few months later, it'll be, this genuinely makes me feel amazing. Like I feel strong. I feel powerful. I feel so good when I finish my session. I feel like I don't have to rely on anyone. Love that. But like, just be honest.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that just takes a little bit of space and time on your own to really peel back the layers, as you said. And it might take, like you said, with your clients, it takes three seedings for them to unravel.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might take a few times. It's funny, like PTs, my fiance used to be a chiropractor. I feel like anything that's like, not, I don't want to say intimate, but like almost turns into a therapy session as well.
All of it.
People just open up.
They open up and they unload on you, and like you just want to sort of shake them and be like, you should have told me this the first session. This would have looked so different.
Yeah. At least you get there in the end.
Yeah.
So speaking of goals, I don't know if you've had a chance to think about yours yet. I mean, we're still in January, so maybe, you know, you've still got a couple of days to get yours ready for the rest of the year. But do you have any 2024 goals when it comes to your health and fitness, or let's open it up just in general?
So I said that I couldn't tell you what my training style that I was doing, I was working on, but my goal, which might give it away for next year, is to be like as strong as possible. So that is like, and I have gone granular on this, I already started this, but I won't go into too much detail. And then my goal for business is just to grow sweat, more categories, like more trainers, more things for women, and yeah, really expand even more around the globe. So we're already global, but
more global,
more trips to Dubai.
Yeah, for sure. That's really exciting. And I'm excited to see what this new program's about, because if it's got anything to do with strength, won't give it away from what you're saying, then I would love to see.
Like I said, if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, we never had this conversation, and we can remove it from the podcast.
We'll be absolutely scrapped from this conversation. We'll be editing it out. Just to end this beautiful conversation on, I'd love to know if you could give your younger self, maybe let's go back to before you hit that school fair in year 10, right, when you had no idea what was ahead of you. If you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
I've always thought about like what I would say to myself when I was young, because I was always like really confident. Like I didn't have to be like be confident or like be strong. And like I played in the boys' basketball team, so it was nothing like that. But like I think I've grown up in a world where like everything is like has to be logical. You have to be logical. Like don't lead with emotion. But I would actually say like you can do that. Like you can lead with emotion. You can be soft with people. You can do things for others, and like, you don't have to get upset with the outcomes that you get. Like, I remember just through the last few years, I'm always like, okay, be logical about this. Like, be logical about this. Like, don't be emotional about it. And like, I wish I could just shake myself and be like, be emotional. Like, because it's only going to end up good. You only want the best for people.
Mm.
So like, yeah, be passionate, be emotional.
I'm not sure if you've tapped in much to like feminine, masculine energy, but what you've kind of spoken about is exactly that. Feminine's very emotional, intuitive led. Masculine's very logical, decision-making, kind of go, go, go. And I feel like as women, especially going into big business and space that you're in now, you're almost not expected, but I feel like to step into those shoes, you feel like you have to have those masculine traits.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you lead from that intuitive place, it never leads you astray. Like,
never.
It's really, because it presents as emotional, but it is like your intuition.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that is an absolute strength. So that's a really nice piece of advice.
I like that. Lead with your intuition.
Mm.
Nice.
Well, that's a beautiful place to end our chat on. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a real pleasure getting to know you, and I can't wait to see what comes out for you in 2024 in the Sweat app.
My secret program. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.